With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Some people love the Valentine's Day. Some people hate the Valentine's Day. It's the Valentine's Day, and it looks like Al is having a nice Valentine's Day moment with Boomer's microphone as we speak. If you're watching our telecast, looks like the microphone is Al's Valentine. So we apologize to Al's Gina. Looks like he's got a new best friend here. Very good. That was a schmutz-filled mic there for Boomer. You don't need to clean the back of the thing, for crying out loud. Who touches the back of the thing?
You never know what goes on here.
I do
understand. We've
been
talking about this now for about 2 months.
There's schmutz everywhere.
There is schmutz everywhere.
Schmutz and germs.
I don't know who sat in this chair. This chair was like all the way to the ground. It's like one of those Evan things. You know how Evan sits with like, it's just his head in the counter?
Right, yeah.
So somebody was sitting in this seat and it was very low and it bothers me. And you were supposed to get me a new seat, Al, and you still haven't done that.
Yeah. I mean, you really dropped the ball on that whole thing. I mean, this was close to a month ago that Boomer requested a new, brand new seat via Al Dukes to find the perfect chair. And then you haven't done anything about it.
If you have a link, I would love to order one. But if you can link, send me like a...
I got to send you a link?
Yeah, like a link of something you like.
All right. I'm going to send you a link.
Now, I saw a chair out there. It looked like a very normal chair, but it was about $2,000, $3,000. But they say it was the nicest chair out there for like offices and the lumbar support and the comfort.
It's always about lumbar support.
So I think that that's the chair you should. I'll find that chair for you. I'll send you that link. Then you send that link to Al, and Al will buy the chair and charge the company for it.
Right.
That's the way it's going to work.
Anyway, good morning.
Oh, good morning,
hey,
Boomer.
How are you doing? All right.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I know that everybody's fired up about the Astros. I think that's a pretty good thing, though. I got to be honest with you. Watching how pissed off everybody was at the Astros yesterday, I had this epiphany. I said, bad for baseball? My ass! This is good for baseball! I haven't seen baseball fans this worked up about something in years! And now, what you have in the Houston Astros is a legit sports villain. And what does a legit sports villain do in these leagues? Bring genuine interest to the sport. LeBron James and Miami Heat and all of that, even though they weren't cheating, and this is a bigger deal because it's cheating, but that was a legit sports villain. When Kevin Durant went to the Warriors, that's a legit sports villain. The New England Patriots, sports villains. And we love to hate sports villains, and now we've got a legitimate one in the Houston Astros that was bad to begin with and then got worse yesterday somehow when Jim Crane...
Oh, God.
Jim Crane, the guy I thought actually felt some sort of remorse in this deal and was going to instruct his players to speak a certain way... Jim Crane actually went with the defense of, yeah, these guys cheated, but it didn't impact the game. What do you mean it didn't impact the game? I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Well, it did impact the game. Well, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I think after his initial foray into firing the manager and the general manager, right after the whole commissioner's report came out, something happened between then and yesterday. Because he felt to me like he was a totally different guy.
Yeah.
Like somebody said to him, hey, look, man, you know, you did the right thing already. You got rid of the guys that supposedly were part of all of this stuff. But now, you know, you can't go out there and say, you know, yeah, we got to give up the World Series. We got to do this. We got to do that. You got to temper that anger in some regard.
Yes.
And, you know, and I think Jose Altuve with, you know, his language issues and all that other stuff, that came across like totally just like, you know, we're sorry, but too bad. You know,
yeah, I thought out of all the players, I thought Correa probably did the best job with it. But Bregman and Altuve were out there with the podium with Dusty Baker, who ended up talking more than anybody, which didn't make any sense because Dusty Baker wasn't a part of this at all. But Altuve, Bregman were up there at the podium. They didn't sound very good. And then Correa did later. And then Justin Verlander was not at the podium, but then got interviewed in the clubhouse by a number of reporters. And boy, did he just deflect every single question. I don't know. I refer back to the Major League Baseball report. I don't know. I don't know. And then, of course, everybody's going to yell and scream about all the things that he has said in the past because he is the baseball morality police with everything else. And when it comes to this, it's like, oh, I refer to the Major League Baseball report. But
right,
man, the Twitter dragons were out yesterday, man. Bregman couldn't even get both I'm and sorry out of his mouth without people going, show more remorse! More remorse! We want more remorse! Roar! So which I then, when I'm watching all of this and these bleeping guys and screw them and cheaters and I know they had buzzers and Altuve and that jersey and you jerks, that's when it hit me. I said, this is the best thing that has happened to baseball in years and years and years because it shows that the passion is there. It gives you something to root against. The players are all involved now. You see all the players on other teams tweeting up a storm and talking about how upset they are.
This may be exactly what Rob Manfred needed.
Yes!
To garner more and more interest to get people involved. I just think that, to me, yesterday, the biggest loser was Jim Crane. Mm-hmm. He was the biggest loser. He came off completely clueless. And, you know, there'll be more disgruntled employees that, you know, that got fired through him and everything else before all this stuff broke that, you know, more and more stuff will come out. And this is just the tip of the iceberg as far as the players dealing with this. Because every city they go into, they're going to have to deal with this. And we've been talking about this over and over and over and over again, that it's not going to be easy to be a Houston Astro. Now, what will be interesting to see is how they play and see where they end up at the end of the year and how much impact this has on that team overall, because they still have a very good team. The other thing I will say is that I do give Carlos Correa a little bit of credit also for sticking up for Carlos Beltran.
Right.
Now,
he did.
Now he,
El Coco.
Well, right. You can say whatever you
no,
want.
No, El Jefe. I'm El sorry. Jefe. El Coco is the ghost or whatever in the HBO series. El Jefe. I'm sorry. I got those two confused.
El Jefe. But, you know, because it had been written, it had been said that, you know, he was the godfather, that he was the one that was putting pressure on everybody. Mm-hmm. And Correa basically came out and said, look, man, you know, we all took part in this. And at the end of the day, Carlos Beltran was a great teammate. He was a good friend. He was a good person, and he stood up for him. You know, so there's something about that that I like from a former teammate standpoint, and not just dumping it all on a guy that's not there.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of things that people wanted to hear yesterday from these players that they didn't hear. But I also think that there was probably a 0% chance that baseball fans would digest anything that the Astros said with ease. So, you know, everybody said, well, they failed this press conference. Oh, they made it worse. Well, I mean, I don't know what the playbook would have been that was a realistic option for the Astros to sort of make everybody calm down about it. But the worst part about it, though, is the fact that Jim Crane did the classic I never said that thing, where he starts off and says it didn't impact the game. What do you mean it didn't impact the game? I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Well, did it impact the game? Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. What?
Exactly.
It didn't impact the game. Hey, Mike, you just said it didn't impact the game. I never said it didn't impact the game. You're a clown. That's what I felt like I was watching yesterday.
He basically said this, quote, our opinion is that it didn't impact the game, unquote. I'm like, what? What?
Yeah.
Did he just say that?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that is an unbelievable take on this. Like, yeah, we cheated. So someone asked, it was a great question. Somebody asked right after that, you know, like, what are you apologizing for then? And he goes, oh, we're apologizing because we broke the rules. But you broke the rules to gain an advantage, right? Well, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. What do you mean maybe it did, maybe it didn't? You continued to do this over and over and over and over again. Clearly,
he also said, Jim Crane also said, I don't think I should be held accountable.
I know. It's great.
Wait a minute. Like, your son's involved in the organization. You fired Nolan Ryan Jr., right? Mm-hmm. You have gotten rid of people. A lot of things have happened over the last year. I'm telling you that will come back to haunt him in so many different ways.
They're so unlikable. This is a team that's so unlikable, which I think that that sports fans really gravitate to these villain teams. And they, I mean, Altuve used to be one of these players that everybody respected because of his diminutive stature and his ability to play the game. And he won an MVP, and everybody thought it was cute. But now this guy is public enemy number one.
And just so other people know, Altuve said the organization feels bad. But Altuve did not use the word sorry or apologize. Now, Bregman came the closest to actual apologizing, but he defended to a passive voice, deferred to a passive voice, I should say. I'm really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me, is what he said.
Yeah, he was a little bit better, and then Correa was the best because he was like, it was wrong. Yeah, it was wrong. We shouldn't have done it. It was wrong. Like, at least he was owning up to just about everything that was wrong. Because these other guys are basically like, yeah, you know, we got caught and it sucks because now people are all over us. And that's why they're sorry. You know, there's being sorry about something, and there's being sorry that you got caught for something. Like, you're telling me if the Houston Astros, there weren't rumblings about this, or other teams didn't complain, or Mike Fiers didn't call the Athletic and all that stuff didn't happen, they'd still be trying to find a way to do this. They didn't feel bad about it. It worked for them. Things were going great. They were stealing signs. They were hitting breaking balls. They were winning World Series. Things were going great. You think that those guys, you know, go back to the celebration in 2017 where they're dousing each other in champagne. They got the goggles on. They're celebrating. They're hugging. They're putting T-shirts on. Do you think there's one bit of remorse in those guys? Like, man.
It doesn't sound like it. And I think this goes back to where Jeff Lunau came from. And, you know, some of the companies that he had worked with when it came to PR and, you know, branding, kind of like Steve Stout, right? I don't maybe they need Steve Stout.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, Rob Manfred wrote in his report, at least in his view, the baseball operations department, insular culture, one that valued and rewarded results over other considerations, combined with a staff of individuals who often lacked direction or sufficient oversight, led, at least in part, to the Brandon Taubman incident. You could see how this could lead to this late, you know, the sign stealing incident.
Sure.
Like, it was almost like a rogue group of guys, both players, front office, and under Jeff Lunau, the general manager, that was all about winning and winning only. That's what came first. And that's what came last.
Yeah, they were
every other consideration was null and void. It was just about winning baseball games.
Yeah, they were more cocky about it than remorseful for it. I mean, I always reference that one video of Alex Bregman. It was a walk-off, and someone asked him in the post-game, he goes, what were you looking for? And he goes, what was I looking for? I don't know. Maybe that exact pitch, and then laughed and got up and left.
Right.
So is that someone who feels bad about sign stealing and excelling with that information, or is that someone who's cocky about it and almost is like, hey, look, we're smarter than you, we're stealing your signs, and we're beating you? I mean, I mean,
there are points where, you know, people have written and have said, now this is not coming from me because I don't follow it closely enough. I'm not there every single day to see every decision that's made and every way that a particular team acts. But there are people that are saying that the Astros under Lunau basically became the scourge of Major League Baseball. And as one writer put it,
you never want to be the scourge.
Well, as one writer put it, as cold and calculating an organization as they've ever seen in the sport. Cold and calculating. That's how they were described.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, yesterday kind of adds to that. It just kind of adds to that. But I,
they're the villain, man. They're the worst.
I know from talking to the commissioner the other day that their hope, what his hope is and what his belief is that the deterrent for guys losing their jobs and getting fired and reputations tarnished is going to be enough to keep this from continuing to happen. And it also intimated to me that, you know, if something like this happens again, the punishment's going to be 10 times worse.
Yeah.
But I also know that You know, he was bound also to only be able to fine them $5 million. He couldn't go any higher than that. He went to the maximum number, which in this day and age for an organization like the Astros is nothing.
Sure, right. I mean, they give that $5 million to make this thing go away. But I just think the most damage that's done is the fact that everybody looks at them differently, and there isn't anybody outside of Houston, and there's some people in Houston that can't stand them.
Right.
I mean, the fact that this team is now, like, those guys are now evil. That's how we look at them in sports, as the evil entity in Major League Baseball.
You know, so the Astros got to keep their championship. They also got to keep their $440,000 per guy for winning the championship, as opposed to about the $240,000 for the Dodgers who lost the championship. But then, like, when you start hearing old Yankees that were on that 2017 Yankee team talk about it,
David Robertson, yeah.
Right, I mean, but you hear it. You hear, you know, Joe Girardi.
Yep.
Robertson, CC Sabathia, of course. I mean, I think they're the ones that can truly speak to the ugliness and the hatred of what took place during that season.
And what Jim Crane says to those Yankees basically is, get over it. Because someone asked specifically, have you heard some of the stuff the Yankees have come out? He's like, yeah, the Yankees have said some things, but you know, we won the World Series and we had a good team.
And again, remember that there had been a number of complaints, not only about the Astros, but other teams as well. All those other complaints, I don't know how deep the investigations went into those complaints, but they were investigated to some extent, and they couldn't find anything until they finally had the whistleblower, Mike Fiers.
Yeah.
And then once Mike Fiers came out and was open in the Athletic article by Drellick and Ken Rosenthal, then all of a sudden that's when all hell broke loose. And, you know, I asked Rob Manfred about the Wall Street Journal report that just came out last week. And he goes, well, all that stuff in that Wall Street Journal report, to some extent, is stuff that we've already put out there and that we know about. So I don't know where this whole thing, it's not going to end, because the fans are not going to allow it to end. The media is not going to allow it to end anytime soon.
For the Astros, for sure. I mean, it's going to be something that is going to follow them, because that's who they are now. This is who they are. The Astros are a cheating organization that has to deal with that label for the rest of the time that they are in baseball, at least these players, and Jim Crane too, as long as he owns the team. The Astros went from that little engine that could, that tore the whole thing down, that built it up with draft picks and did it the right way, and then went out and got Justin Verlander to put him over the top. And they were the blueprint on how to go from nothing to winning a championship. Now they are known as the most disgraced team in at least my lifetime of Major League Baseball, and it's not even close.
And it didn't get there until Carlos Beltran got there and said, you guys are not doing it the way other teams are
doing it. El Cuoco.
Yeah, let's go to Anthony in Belleville. Anthony, what's happening?
Boomer and Gio,
Hey. What do you got for us today?
This Jim Crane puts the ass in the Astros, I tell you right now. I can't stand these guys. The team is saying, oh, we should have stopped it when we had a chance. We shouldn't have did this. And then Jim Crane says, we didn't do nothing. The guy's a jerk. I can't take it no more. Boom, I can't take it.
Listen, you know what? It's a weekend. Baseball's right around the corner. Go
Valentine's
out and have a couple
Day.
Cocktails. Just relax.
Yeah.
Take it easy. Take a chill. You know, your Yankees are going to go all the way this year. They may not lose a game. So just hang in there.
Before I hung up on him, I just have this natural reaction to hang up on Anthony as quick as possible.
Why?
He's got one line, you know, and then if he strays away from that, he's horrendous. He's out of water.
I would say horrendous.
I mean, he's drowned. He drowns. You know, he had the Jim Crane put the ass in Astros, and then it's like he's just drowning in
usually
the middle of the ocean.
Usually like Jim Crane put the ass in Astros.
Yeah, and that's what he should do.
Yeah, and then you end it right there.
Right, as opposed to him going on and on, then going, I can't take it anymore. Like, you know, it's just like you're done, man.
Right.
You give us the one line, the one horrible joke, do your and then get out of here.
He's usually not that. Yeah, I mean, he's usually pretty funny.
He should hang up. Like, he should.
Yeah. Right. Like, drop the mic.
Yes.
And drop the mic.
Yeah, he's not really funny. He's just like so bad it's funny. You know, it's one of those things.
I actually find it to be very funny. I always look forward to hearing what he has come up with over, you know, because you know he was thinking about this yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
And he couldn't wait to call this morning.
Right, he put the ass in Astros.
That was now, if you think he's mad, What do you think Dan from Carteret's doing right now?
Oh, my God. He's outside.
Burying Girl Scouts?
No, easy. Stop it. You know, I'll tell you one thing. You may have to keep him away from Yankee Stadium when the Astros come to town.
Eddie.
Jesus, God.
I mean, I was going to say it was outside of Minute Maid Park, whatever the hell they call it now, just waiting for somebody. You know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You may have to keep him away from Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, Dan and Carteret is a dangerous, dangerous man. That's for sure.
All right, so here's the thing.
All right. Yeah.
And we haven't discussed this.
What's the thing?
The thing is, when do the Astros come to Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, you can't tell me that this isn't a good thing for baseball, the way that we're talking about this. Like, when's the first time that they're going to be here? When are they going to be there?
All right, so the Astros, let me see, the Yankees are at the Astros the 15th, 16th, and 17th.
Of May.
Of May. So the Astros probably not until the second half. Doesn't look like it's till the second half.
September. It's all the way in September.
There's a 4-game series in September. So by that time,
nobody's going to care. By that time, it'll be over.
I mean, it would have been something had Major League Baseball had them open at the Yankees.
Now, they should now if they were smart. They'd rearrange the schedule and just have an opening night at Yankee Stadium with the Astros. Just take one of those games off that 4-game series.
So you'll see them in the middle of May and then again at home in September. You know, those games most likely could be important, Gio, for seeding.
Right, of course. Boomer and Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network just getting started on this Friday morning of Valentine's Day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.